So as we come again to the letter of 1 Peter, remember that this is a letter first sent to persecuted believers who are very much under pressure. And some of them slaves, some of them married to non-Christians, most of them in difficult circumstances. And so then we've seen that the letter then begins with this wonderful word of encouragement with who they are to God. In the world, slaves, nobodies, scorned and despised Christians. But to God, his elect, his chosen precious people, his own people. And it's a very comforting, encouraging word to us. We are his elect. And as the scripture does here, our election by God is to be a wonderful source of comfort to us and encouragement as we battle at times in the Christian life. And we began to see in this verse, as all three persons of the Godhead are spoken of, that our election is a gift and is a work of the three persons of the Trinity. We are elected by God, the one living God. And in his work of election, the three persons of the Trinity are revealed, all working as one in our election. And in different ways, each of the persons of Father, Son, and Spirit are, if you like, brought to the forefront of different parts of this electing work, so that we will glorify each divine person as God. So we looked last time on the foreknowledge of God the Father. So the origin, the source, the cause of our election is his foreknowledge. That God has known us and loved us from the beginning. All our salvation comes from him. He chose and ordained us to election. He's instigated it. And then if you look ahead to the end, when it speaks about the Lord Jesus, to God the Son, we're told about the goal and the purpose of our election. The end of it is for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Lord willing, we'll look at that another time. But the point is, we are elected to this end so that we will obey Jesus Christ and be devoted to God, consecrated to God through his blood. But then in between these two points, the scripture says, we are elect in the sanctification of the Spirit. And that's what I'd like us to think about this evening. We are elect in the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, sanctification means to be set apart, to be holy to God. So those words are really saying we are elect by being set apart to be holy by God, the Holy Spirit. And so here, God the Spirit is coming to the forefront as in this part of election. And he is to be worshipped and adored with the Father and the Son. And one of the key things that I hope we're really just going to get hold of is that our election is this being set apart to be holy. And it is accomplished by the Holy Spirit coming into our lives in a powerful and effectual way. Sanctifying way. I think when it speaks about his sanctifying work, we're to see this as a comprehensive summary of all the grace of the Spirit in our lives, of all his work in our lives, as he works in our hearts. And his part, if you like, in our redemption is to make us holy. He's working and setting us apart from sin and evil, everything unclean, everything that defiles. And he's making us pure and sinless and clean and completely devoted to God. And I think this is such an important point to understand. It's an election in holiness. To rightly understand election and what the Bible teaches about it. It is an election in holiness or to holiness. An election into holiness. Even by holiness. What we are chosen and set apart for is to be holy. There is no election without holiness. There's no election that isn't inseparably joined to a changed, holy life. God's work is effectual. It does what it sets out to do, and it is indivisible. Those whom he elects, he sanctifies. Election is, in a sense, a part of the whole work of sanctification, of God transforming us to be holy by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I could put it this way, if I have a gift to give, and I choose to give it to one person and not another, and I've elected that person to have the gift, there's no election without the gift. The choosing and the giving are the same thing in one sense. And in this case, the gift is God giving us the Spirit to make us holy. And there's no election without that. The electing and giving are all of one of this work of salvation. And that's so important, because one of the objections that often gets raised against the biblical doctrine of election is that it condones or permits or winks at sin. So the objector says, look, I don't accept election, because are you saying an elect person is saved no matter what? No matter what sins they might commit, no matter how they live, it doesn't matter because they're elect? Which, of course, is a total misrepresentation of the biblical teaching. That would be making election somehow a license to sin. Go ahead and sin. The elect are pardoned no matter what. As sometimes some would try to say, to pull down election. But you see the fatal error. It misses that election is into holiness. It's an election in sanctification of the Spirit. A setting apart to holiness. The two are inseparable. And it's because we are elect for this purpose, in this way, that Peter will then go on to say, if you look at verses 15 to 16, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. If I could to phrase that differently, as he who elected you is holy, you also be holy. It's because we're set apart to holiness, the Christian life is living that out, to being true to this calling that we've been given. So the objection falls away, as does anyone who would say they are elect, but their life shows no Christian graces, no fruits of the Spirit. Somebody who's not growing in holiness, walking the real Christian walk, can't say that they're elect, because we're elect in the sanctification of the Spirit. So what then do we say then, as we look at this as perhaps a way into the rest of the letter? Well, what can we say to glorify God the Spirit, to praise him for this electing work? There's several important points Peter will go on to emphasize about the Spirit in the rest of the letter. And just to try to help us memorize them and spot them throughout the letter, let me use some alliteration. He speaks about the Spirit's work in preaching, in our priesthood, and in giving us patience. And so the first thing that Peter brings to the forefront later on in the letter is we should thank the Spirit for his work in preaching, for his work in revealing and declaring the truth of the gospel to us. If you look with me in chapter 1, verse 11, it is the Spirit who has inspired the scriptures, who has given us the word of God. It is he, the Spirit of Christ, who spoke through the prophets. And then verse 12, the same Spirit, sent from heaven, has revealed the gospel through the apostles and their preaching and teaching. And then if you look over the page to verse 22, it is the same Spirit who makes this preaching and teaching effectual, who works through the truth to save and sanctify. Peter says there to the saints, they had purified their souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And the through the Spirit there is he's talking about what the Spirit has done and accomplished through hearing the truth and then obeying it. It is the Spirit who has worked and brought that to be. So Peter's saying that the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to us in the Word of God, who inspires it, reveals it, and then illuminates it and applies it. And that's a major part of his sanctifying work, opening up our hearts and minds to receive the truth, to believe it, for it to change us. And this is his ordinary way of working. invisibly but powerfully. So we both know the truth and feel it. And through this, he's sanctifying us and he makes us holy. And then the second thing where we really see the work of the Spirit in that Peter speaks about in his letter is that he has made us priests to God. If you look with me in chapter 2, and verses 4 to 10, and verse 5 in particular, in this section, Peter's using a kind of extended analogy to say that we Christians are God's true temple and dwelling place. God's temple, where his Spirit dwells, is not a brick and mortar building, but it's made up of living stones, of us, of the people. And he says that we're being built up a spiritual house, a house of the Spirit, the house of God the Spirit, made by the Spirit, and to be filled with the Spirit. God's dwelling place. God's presence is here in us as God's temple. And so therefore, we are set apart to be priests to God, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, certainly, that word spiritual and spiritual sacrifices, it's saying, of course, we're not offering the blood of bulls and goats and those old outward rituals, but the inner worship and sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving and love and joy. But it surely is also speaking about this being the work of the Spirit. It's in the Spirit, through him, that we are communing with God, that this place here is transformed into his temple. And we can offer these praises. To say we're God's temple because of the Spirit amongst us is again that encouraging note to say we're his possession. We are precious to him. And we are his priest, set free to praise him, to give him this holy worship, to proclaim the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So again, the Holy Spirit's ordinary, usual way of working is in the worship of God's people. When we're gathered together, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, we're his temple, and he will be sanctifying us. And then I think the third major thing that comes out in Peter's letter is we should thank God the Spirit for his gracious help to be patient. He comforts us when we're under persecution, when we're under pressure. Now, you know how much of the letter is addressing how we should react to people who oppose the gospel and persecute us. And the second half of the letter is all about this, that we must not fight back, but we must learn to humbly submit, not seek revenge, but patiently endure. And looking to God for vindication. So instead, we're to bless those who revile us. We're to do good to our enemies. And in every way, Peter says, to follow the example of our Lord, who, like a lamb quietly, meekly taken to slaughter, did not protest, but committed himself to God. And of course, it is the Holy Spirit who, as we heard in Galatians, enables us to be like that, to help us be long-suffering, gentle, faithful. But if you look at me in particular, chapter 4 and verse 14. Peter says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Isn't that just a really beautiful and encouraging verse? It feels horrible when someone attacks you and insults you and degrades or mocks you, and even just for being a Christian. But Peter says, take heart in that moment. The Holy Spirit is with you. And in fact, although the world won't see it, you are shining with his glory at that moment. As you're patiently enduring, that this brings great glory to God. It honors God that you would act in a Christ-like way. God will be filling you, resting upon you, his Spirit of glory, the Holy Spirit, because you're doing what's pleasing to him. So let us thank God, the Holy Spirit, for this comfort and encouragement he gives us when we have to patiently endure, for the glory he anoints us with, for his presence with us, making us God's temple. And again, as we consider it's the persons of the Trinity as one in our election. Our election is not a mechanical, mindless thing. It's a very personal act of love, of God's love, setting us apart to be his people. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you as we consider the deep mystery of your election, that you have elected from before the world was made a people for yourself, a people that you will set apart from sin and whom you will make holy to reveal your glory. We thank you, Lord, for this great mystery and how it comforts us when we look at ourselves and we sometimes feel so hopeless and say that our sins are so evil. We wonder how we could ever be saved. We thank you, Lord, that it does not depend on us, but it is the work of your grace, your electing will, and the sanctifying power of your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for calling us to this glorious gift, to be made holy. We thank you for this greatest of privileges, that you've called us to be your temple, your dwelling place. And so we do pray, O Lord, that the Spirit's work and presence in all our lives would grow and increase. We ask, Lord, that you would do a deeper work of grace in us and in our church. That please, Lord, you would cultivate us so that more of the fruit of the Spirit is growing in us. That we would be more and more conformed to Christ our Saviour. And so we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for this glorious gift of your grace, of our election, through Christ our Lord. Amen.